Psalm 18. I'm going to try to do what seems to be the impossible for me today. I'm going to do the whole thing, Wyatt. You laugh. All right. Cindy, right? Welcome. It's a good day for you to be here because we've been in this psalm. We've been teaching the psalms for the last 2 years or so that I've been doing this class. And so we're up to this, but we go verse by verse through the psalms and get what the Lord gives us and try to help the people here. Last week we finished this psalm according to the outline that I had and everything. And so it's the fourth longest psalm in the Bible, and it has took me a little while to get through it. I kind of joke around with people about that I'm slow and everything. But nonetheless, we started this, I believe, back in October. So we've been in here for a while, and I've got over 30 pages of notes, and I'm going to try to my best of the ability that the Lord gives me today, and this is something that I wanted to do from the start when I finished it, and the Lord's kind of given me the green light here. We're just going to go through each verse, and it's 50 verses, so we got about 35 minutes, which is, if you equate that right, it's about 45 seconds per verse. So here we go. All right, the Psalm 18 in a nutshell, okay? We're not going to read the whole thing. We will as we go, but here we go. Start out in verse number 1, and we entitled it a Psalm of David's Deliverance. He praises God throughout this psalm for the deliverance that he gave him. Through many things, and we will see them as we go through here. But we learned a whole lot about praise as we went through here. So we'll start here again in verse 1, and this is just kind of a summary of things that we learned through here, not everything, but just a summary, just tapping through it. Verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. We learned here that there was praise in the beginning of this psalm. And David certainly is praising the Lord here in these first few verses. But he says, first of all, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. David showed affection in his praise to the Lord. He said, the finest praise for God is to love him. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We didn't find God, God found us, and we love him because he found us, and he found us where we were as men in sin and spoke to our hearts, drawed us in, each and every one of us that know him as our personal Savior, he drew us in, and his Spirit convicted us of a need of a Savior and the need that we had to have our sins forgiven. And we should love him for that. And certainly, again, the finest form of praise is to love God. Love him for what he's done for us. In verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. We learned here in verse 2 about attributes of praise. Those attributes are of the Lord, and David is praising him for what? He's praising him. He said the Lord is his rock, strength that he has there. God is his help. He's his rock. He says he's my fortress. The word fortress means a castle, a defense, or a strong place. David praises God that he has a strong place to go to in his life, a place to hold on to, that rock. And then it says here, he's my deliverer. The word deliverer means to carry safely through. And certainly in a psalm of deliverance here with David writing about the deliverance he has here, and he emphasized once again that God is his deliverer. And he says here also that he's my God. That means there's strength there. There's nothing in this universe stronger than God. And God is David's strength. He relies on him for that. And he says here, he's my strength as well, which the word strength here means a refuge, a place to go to in time of trouble. The word buckler shows up here as well, where it says he's my buckler. And that's a shield, refers to as a shield, protection that God offers to David. And he says here, furthermore, he says, the horn of my salvation. That means power. There's, when the horn is blown, there's power going on. There's something strong happening. And that is, God is his part of his attribute is that he is powerful. And then he says here, and my high tower. The Lord here, the word high tower means security, protection as well. And David knows these things, and he's praising the Lord for them. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. Folks, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord, he knows you. And he will protect you, just as David is testifying that he did for him here. In verse 3, there's applause in his praise. He says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. David is applauding the Lord for what he has done for him and praising him, because it says here, he says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. The Lord is worthy to be praised, folks. You and I that know the Lord as our Savior, we shouldn't have to praise the Lord. We should want to praise the Lord, and he is certainly worthy of the praise that he gets. This world is full of praise for men, but those of us that know the Lord as our Savior should certainly be praising the Lord and not men. In verses 4 and 5 here, the Bible says, the sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. We see here that David is testifying that the sorrows of life, testifying of the sorrows that life had brought him to. Yet, through it all, he praises God for the deliverances given to him by the Lord. David is praising God, even though there's many sorrows that come to his life. I thought about Paul and Silas at midnight in the jail there in the book of Acts, and how that they were caught singing and praising God at midnight. They were lifting praise to him, even though they were locked up in jail. They brought praise to the Lord. You and I have never been in that situation, and we may very well never be, but yet an example to us there is the fact that they praised God even when they were in prison, wrongfully imprisoned, by the way. Just remember that you and I, as we go through our lives and as we know the Lord as our Savior, things come and go in our lives. Just like David, there will be sorrows of death that'll compass us. Floods of ungodly men may make us afraid. Verse 5, the sorrows of hell may compass us about, and the stairs of death may prevent us. But God is in control, and that he wants to hear us sing no matter what we are going through. See, in verses 6 through 19, we saw God's power in deliverance. In verse 6, it says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. David here is speaking of a season in his life where he needed deliverance. He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And many times in our distress, We should, anytime in our distress, we should call upon the Lord. We should not only call upon him in distress, but especially in that season of distress, we should call upon the Lord and find the help that comes from him. God is a very present help in time of need, the Bible says. He will help us get through whatever we are going through. When troubles come our way, they'll reveal our faith or our lack of faith. Remember something that I've said over the past couple years, it's just kind of a thing with me that I learned years ago. And I say I learned this, but that doesn't mean every situation I apply it, because sometimes I don't. And I have to look back, and the Lord says, remember what you said. The fact of bitter or better, what's it going to be? When you're in distress and you call upon the Lord and he delivers you, whatever that distress is, whatever you're going through, folks, what's it going to be? Are you going to get bitter or are you going to get better? The difference is one letter. I'm not a poet here, but the difference between bitter and better is one letter. That's the letter I. B-I-T-T-E-R is bitter. B-E-T-T-E-R is better. I can make the difference. I am the one, not of my own power, but of the power that God's given me. The power that he's given me, and that he showed me in his word, just like David, in my distress, I can call upon the Lord. Folks, if we call upon the Lord in our distress, he will answer us. We might not always get the answer that we want, but he will answer us. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is just hold on. It's not now. And you have to discern what that is through God's word and the peace that he gives you in your heart. When you face things, God will give you the peace that passes all understanding, the Bible talks about. And when you have that peace, you'll know what the answer is. In verse 7 through 15 of these verses, we see the great lengths that the Lord goes to deliver David from his enemies. It says here, then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the hills were moved and shaken because he was wroth. There went up smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Verse 9, he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. We learn through this that God goes to great lengths to deliver his children. He used much power and much strength here was demonstrated to deliver David. It's just talking about David. Now, David had a whole army of people with him, but David, this psalm is later in David's life, and he's testifying, so it's not just one particular time that he's testifying of, but yet he speaks here many times of how that the Lord delivered him from the evil hand of Saul and his wicked ways to kill David. And yet God went to great lengths here. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills were moved and were shaken because he was wroth. God was upset. Why was God upset? He was upset because someone was after one of his children. If you or I, as parents, those of us that are parents, if someone were to come after one of our children, we're going to go to great lengths. Jason, if somebody comes in after that crew you got there in your house, you're going to go to great lengths to protect them, right? There's going to be some thunder. There's going to be some noise. There's going to be some racket, right? It's going to happen. And each and every one of us that are parents would say, yes, the same thing. There's going to be something. But how much more does our Heavenly Father want to protect us? How much more? We just dim in comparison as parents of the ruckus that we could make if someone were to come after our children. Think about the Lord and what he did. And he did this here for David. He would do it for us as well. How far would he go to protect us from our enemies? In verses 16 through 19, we see character in his deliverance. It says here, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from the strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. There's character in the deliverance here, and that character comes from the Lord. In verse 16, David is praising God because you see him over and over again. He mentions the Lord first. It's not about David. It's about the Lord. He says, he sent from above. Verse 16, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. Verse 17, he delivered me from the strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. David gives God the praise he needs, and he doesn't praise himself for getting out of the situations he was in. He didn't take the credit. He gave the credit to God. That's the character of God here that we see. David knew who delivered him. In verse 19, there was prosperity in his deliverance. He said, he brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. There was prosperity there. We spoke of that as we went through this, and the fact that the Lord delighted in David. Living a life that delights the Lord will be very beneficial for you and I. Yes, most of us here know the Lord as our Savior, and we should live for him, and we should live a righteous life. We're going to get more into that here in a couple minutes. But yet, many times we don't, but we should. But it would be very beneficial to us. I think that most of my children learned this. I believe they did, or are still learning it, that it's very, very beneficial for them in our household, and not just in our household when we're out, but very, very beneficial in their lives for them to live right, to do right. To do right by mom and dad, yes, the law of mom and dad, but also by God's law, by God's book, by God's standards. And they'll learn, their children will learn that, you know what, and each and every one of them, through the process of raising them, and it is a process, and correction, discipline, and everything that goes along with it, some of them learn faster, some of them learn slower. Boys are hard-headed. But let me tell you something, girls are too. I won't mention any names. Don't want to embarrass anybody. But you know, they inherit that from their parents, by the way, so don't get too excited there. But yet, they learn it's beneficial to do right. It's beneficial to them as a child under our roof in our house to obey and to do right. And you and I would learn well, we would prosper well if we would delight the Lord, not just delight mom and dad, but delight the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Folks, may it be said of us, not just one day, but today, that we are a delight to the Lord. Think about it. Is your life a delight to the Lord? Is my life a delight to the Lord? Am I doing stuff in every aspect of my life? Am I keeping Him first? Am I following His will and His way and His word, His instructions? Am I doing what He wants me to do? Am I a delight to Him? Oh, it's good to be a delight to mom and dad, young people. It's good. It's beneficial to you to be a delight to mom and dad. But oh, how much more it is beneficial to us to be a delight to the Lord. In verses 20 through 24, there's praise for righteous living. Verse 20 says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and not wickedly departed from my God. For all His ways were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight." Quickly down through these verses, we see a few things here. Keep in mind, the Lord is the one doing the rewarding here, not man. The Lord is. He only rewards us for righteous things. He doesn't reward us for things that are not good or evil. He rewards for righteous things. David here is testifying of the rewards that the Lord gave him. He's not bragging on himself. He's just bragging on God. He says here in verse 20 that the Lord rewarded me. How? He rewarded him according to my righteousness. That righteousness was given by God, by the way. David wasn't righteous on his own. He had to come to know the Lord just like you and I have to. And yet, David here says that He rewarded him for my righteousness. Again, was given by God. He rewarded him for the cleanness of His hands. In verse 21, He rewarded him. Here He says, "I have kept the ways of the Lord." The Lord rewarding him for keeping the ways of the Lord. And not only that, but it says, "and have not wickedly departed from my God." Oh, the world, the flesh, and the devil want to pull on us and have us go another way. And you know, as you and I that know the Lord as our Savior, we know that. There's the Bible speaks of, in Corinthians, of the natural man, the carnal man and the spiritual man. And the natural man receiveth not the things of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Those things, yes, those things are become new, but yet there's still a pull on us. There was a pull on David as well, but he maintained some righteous things and he got rewarded for them. In verse 22, it says, "For all His judgments were before me." He was rewarded here in 22 for heeding the word of God. In verse 22, it also says, "I did not put away His statutes from me." He was rewarded for staying in God's word. In verse 23, it says here, "I was also upright before Him." He was rewarded for maintaining a good testimony. He was upright. He lived upright. And then it says here in the end of that verse 23, "I have kept myself from mine iniquity." What's iniquity? Iniquity is sin. He was rewarded for staying away from sin. Folks, in the day and age we live, the technology that's come our way, some of it's good, some of it's bad. But I've hammered on this over and over again. If you keep hanging around certain things, eventually it'll get you. It'll draw you in, And if nothing else, it will waste your time and my time. I'm not just pointing at you. It does it to me. There's certain things. It's so easy anymore, so convenient to get pulled away. And, you know, it becomes very convicting. And I've said this as well in the past, and I'll say it again. It becomes very convicting to me when the time comes and I sit down and I study for this lesson each week. The Lord convicts me many times and says, how many hours have you spent doing something else? How many hours have you spent in my word studying, and here you are begging me for help? It's a struggle, folks. It's a struggle, and the struggle is real. But David says here he was rewarded because he stayed away from sin. He said there in the end of verse 23, I've kept myself from mine iniquity. Now, iniquity is sin. There's a broad thing there. It could be many things, not just what I'm speaking of, but anything that would keep us away from the Lord. In verse 24, we see the Lord is rewarding David for what the Lord sees in him. He kind of wraps all that up there where he says, therefore the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. David, again, he's not bragging about how clean he is, folks. He's bragging about God getting him there. You and I can't do it on our own, but it says those last three words in that verse, in his eyesight. The world may not see us as clean. They might not see us as righteous because they're going to see everything we do wrong. But yet, in God's eyesight is where the rewards come from. And David was rewarded for them, and you and I can be as well. In verses 25 through 27, here we look at these verses quickly. It says, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. There's a principle behind the rewarding here, as well as David continues the thought process here. And it just simply, we'll just touch on this. It's simple. It's right there in front of us. This is how God does things. The principle behind his dealing with folks. He said, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. David's testifying of the Lord here. He said, Lord, with the merciful people, you're going to show yourself merciful. And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. It's black and white with the Lord. It's easy. There's no gray area with the Lord. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. We're not going to get into all the definitions of them. We went over those in our study. It says that, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. He looks at the merciful, the upright, the pure, the froward, and then he also will save folks, or he will bring them down. The high look there is pride. In verses 28 through 36, there's more praise for deliverance. As David gets back into this here, it says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Verse 35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarge my steps under me that my feet did not slip. Just a few things here through these verses that David is praising God for. Again, as he gets on the roll here of praise, in verse 28, he praises him for his light. He said, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord will enlighten my darkness." And folks, he certainly will do that for us as we trust him. As we, if you went back to the beginning where he said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." In our distress, in our time of need, we call upon the Lord. He will light our candle, and the Lord will enlighten my darkness, David said here. He will lighten up things for us. You know, as I work, have worked for years, many years now, as a mechanic, there's one thing that you can find in or around my toolbox, and that's a multitude of flashlights. Work lights, flashlights. I'm kind of addicted to them. They only last so long, and in the last 10 years plus, they've come out with these nice ones that are rechargeable and magnetic, and you put them on stuff, and you work on stuff, and then you get done working on stuff, and you forget it's there, and then the vehicle goes down the road with your light on, and so you lose that. But I use light. Light reveals things. It helps me to find things in dark places. Jason, I guarantee Jason's got some lights in that truck that he runs around in to see. You got to see things. You got to reveal these things. You got to find the problem, and it helps if you got some light on them. It helps us out. In life, God will lighten our darkness. He will enlighten it. It says right here, "The Lord will enlighten my darkness." Folks, it gets pretty dark sometimes. There's some places you and I not specifically go, but some places life takes us, it becomes dark. Not that we're in a dark place of sin, but things get dark sometimes. You know, their Christian life is like the seasons that flow, you know, spring, summer, winter, and fall as they flow. You know, we're in the winter time right now, and thankfully we're over that hump where it gets a little lighter each day, and it gives you encouragement and looking forward to a little bit more light each day, and so that you don't have to go to work in the dark and come home in the dark. It gets a little discouraging for me when I do that, but when as that light comes about, it helps out, and the Lord will lighten us as well. I'm getting stuck here. I got to stop because running out of time. But the Lord will enlighten our darkness. David's praising God for that. In verse 29, he praises God for the abilities to do what seems impossible. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. David is giving praise to God for helping him to do what seemed impossible. In verse 30, he is praising God for God's way. He says, "As for God, his way is perfect." He praises God for his word. The word of the Lord is tried. He praises God for being his buckler to all those that trust in him. For his way, his word, and his security. In verse 31, he praises him for the rock. Who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? Security there in the rock, something to hold on to. In verse 32, he praises God for strength and leading. It says, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." You and I can't make our way perfect, but God can make our way perfect. We can praise him as David did here for strength and leadership. In verse 33, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon the high places. He praises him here in verse 33 for stability and speed as well. In verse 34, he praises him for schooling. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in by mine arms. He praises him for schooling. Remember that verse I gave you in Job chapter 36 and verse 24, where it says, "Who teacheth like him," referring to the Lord, referring to God, "who teacheth like him." Folks, you might not remember what we taught here this morning. You might not remember what Pastor Wilson's going to teach today. But when God teaches you something, you will remember it. And no one teacheth like him. In verse 35, he praises God for his salvation. "For thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath hold me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." He praises God for his salvation. In 36, he praises him for his support. "For thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." He praises God for the support that he gives him to be able to stand and to do things again, like he did up in verse 29, things that seem impossible, God can help you to do. In 36 through 42, we see that David praises God for the pursuit. God enabled David to pursue his enemies and to overcome them. We're not going to look there, but you can jot this down. You know the verses, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. That's our enemy today. David had a physical enemy here that he testifies of being delivered from, but the world, the flesh, and the devil, the lust of the, it left me. I'm not going to do that. I've got it in the memory bank, but the memory bank's not here this morning. Y'all know it. You could quote it for me, I'm sure. Got to look at this one. "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but of this world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Folks, our enemy is right there in verse 16. Our enemy today is not so much that physical enemy that David faced, but our enemy right there is in verse 16 today. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are our enemy. They're public enemy number one for you and I that know the Lord as our Savior. David praised God for helping him with the pursuit in verses 43 through 45. We'll not read all these verses for sake of time, but David praises God for promotion, where he says here, "For thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me head of the heathen. The people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear me, they shall obey me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me." He goes on there, and we see that God brought David to a place of promotion there. He got him where he wanted him to be. That's God. It was God's will that David would lead these people, but it took a while to get him in that position, and David promoted him. You and I need to leave the promoting up to God in life. Sometimes in our lives, there's just places that we are, as each one of us live our life. The important thing is that we live for the Lord no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. Let the promoting up to God. Don't beg for promotions, folks. Let God do it for you. Let God give you that job that, you know, you, maybe you've dreamed or whatever of another job. Maybe more pay would help. Maybe a better environment, whatever. Let God do that. Let him do it one time. Let him do it anytime. And you'll see you'll be rewarded for that. He will promote you. And lastly, verses 46 through 50, there's praise in ending. "The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent men. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises to thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, and to David, and to his seed forevermore." There's praise in the ending here. We said in our study, there was praise in the beginning, there's praise in the ending. There was two bookends on Psalm 18, and they both were praise. And then also we seen praise all sprinkled out throughout it as well. David ends his psalm in the way he began it, with praise to the Lord for all he has done to deliver him. Oh, that we would learn from David to praise God, whatever circumstance we may be going through. And that is Psalm 18. You good, Wyatt? I didn't think I could do it either, so thank the Lord. Continue to pray for us. As far as I know, we're going to 19 next week. But I do really appreciate and covet your prayers in study. It takes something to do this. It doesn't just naturally flow, so to speak. It takes something, folks. And I appreciate your prayers for us as we study. And hopefully you got something out of that. I know it took us a while to get through it. Some of them go quicker, some of them go slower. I don't know. I try to go with what God wants. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for